Wednesday, December 20th, 2006, upon further review, episode number 28. Well, it's the holiday season, and we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Happy Kwanzaa, etc., etc., and of course, a Happy Opinion Day, which is the holiday, as all of you know, where everyone gives their opinions and listens to podcasts that talk about opinions and spreads the word about those podcasts to friends and associates and relations and basically tells everybody about a show called Upon Further Review. Isn't it nice to have a holiday that hasn't been taken over by blatant self-promotion and crass commercialism? Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
We want to welcome everybody to episode number 28, which I guess is going to be our holiday edition episode.
Because Greg wants to name them. He continues to try to name them.
Because, you know, in the future, there are going to be people who are going to want to know where all of our different episodes go. And they're going to want to organize them by theme and concept and idea.
Because that's what future people do.
That's people in the future will organize things. They're the organizational list. People. So we want to welcome everybody in and thank everyone for listening. And I want to just say before we get started with the show that we want to thank our regular listeners, especially those who have started to contribute actively to the comments section on our site, notably Tim. First of all, we want to congratulate Tim for finishing up his term. He's a teacher. And he left this very funny comment about being excited. If I sound a little bit goofy, it's because I'm finally done with the term and I'm going to be playing some poker over the holidays and it's going to be fun and great. So we want to congratulate Tim on that. And Drum Intellect responded to him by saying, "You get 5 weeks of a holiday. I work for the city and I get like a half hour holiday lunch," or something like that. So anyway, we want to thank them. We want to thank Bernadette for chiming in on Amazon.com, which she says has revolutionized, apparently, Australian book buying and all that sort of stuff. So we're glad to hear that. So all of our family that's out there in our Upon Further Review world, we want to thank you for being a part of it this year.
And your lovely banter.
And we want to encourage all of you who are part of the silent majority, which is those of you who don't contribute, to please not only continue to spread the word and continue to listen, but be part of the process. Come in, do commenting and all that kind of stuff. Nobody will bite. We're nice people. We're not going to, review you badly.
No, because it's on the web.
Right.
So we can't bite you. Yeah.
Right. That wouldn't be possible.
Right.
And I have to make one other comment before we get started as well. This week, we are in the Super Bowl, the finals of the Celebrity Podcasting Fantasy Football League. Now, I've held back on commenting on this, but we have clawed and scratched our way through podcast after podcast to reach the finals. And
with T.O. nonetheless.
That's right, with Terrell Owens. And we've managed to do that. We had to sit him down, have a good talking to.
Yes.
And he understood we're coming. And we said, listen, if we're going to win the podcasting universe,
right,
which fewer than 1% of the populace knows anything about,
right,
we need you to step up to the plate. And he said,
"Not be a fruitcake."
And he looked at us and said, "I've never heard that many mixed metaphors in a sentence." And
right,
we said, "Shut up and get on the field." And I think since then he's really performed.
After we gave him the fruitcake,
no, after we threatened to give him the fruitcake if he didn't perform. But we want to. We're glad that we got invited to do this. It's been a lot of fun, and we wish the Kenosha Killers, which is run by Philosophy Guy, who does a philosophy podcast and a couple other things, we want to wish him the best, and we hope that we crush you into the dust. Nothing personal. It's just
we will
fantasy
crush
football.
Into the dust.
That's the hope. Knock on wood. Anti-jinx. Okay. So we'll report back on that about that next week. Okay. So since this is a holiday-themed episode, Clea and I looked at each other and said, what exactly are we going to review? And he said, well, we on the show have never been known to review things that are larger than sort of the standard show might be able to accommodate.
It's quite simple. We said, let's do a holiday show. Okay, right. So let's review holidays.
So we decided to review all of them. Not exactly all of them, but we did decide to review a bunch of them. And so we will do a
marathon holiday review.
Right.
See how many we can fit in.
Right, exactly. We're going to be trying to...
Winter holidays.
Right. We're going to be trying...
We have to save some for the rest of the year.
Right. We're going to be trying to... Right, exactly, yes. We're going to be reviewing Christmas, Hanukkah...
Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa, the winter solstice. We're going to be reviewing... thing. Oh, let's see. What are some of the other ones that we found on some of the sites
we're
looking at?
There's an Islam one that we were going to try to review.
Right. So one of the, perhaps a little bit of Buddhist in there. So we are going to try to do everything we can to get as many holidays in there. Now, for those of you that we miss, the one of you who's sitting out there going, I'm a Scientologist. What about me? I apologize. I hope that only your faith can get you through this difficult time of not being included on our holiday review. Right. But we wanted to give you a sample of the holiday season.
You know, there is actually a winter musical. I don't know if it's a musical or a play.
A winter musical?
On Scientology Christmas or something like that.
It's
I thought about, I presume so.
I don't know. Maybe they were trying to change your image.
Yeah, there's that Boston Legal. Remember the Boston Legal where they went off about Scientology?
Which is pretty funny.
And the guy was just like, oh, ick. You know, it's just like, that's kind of what I thought of when you were like, well, I'm sorry, we can't do Scientology. I'm like, ick. Yeah. I'm not talking about Scientology.
Why would one do that in the first place? What's wrong with that?
Yeah. So if we have any Scientology listeners, I'm sorry. I respect you, just not your religion.
Oh, jeez. Yes, that's... I can't... I have nothing to say about that. I mean, these people use phasers to go... I mean, they use phasers to go up levels. It's like playing a, you know, an online role-playing game. I mean, the religion's crazy. Anyway.
I guess for that, you should like it.
Yeah, but sort of in a game, you know?
Right.
Not in life.
Not in real life.
So, we're going to do that. Then we're going to move on to review the breast cancer site, which is actually a site that Clea found originally, which has... You have the option to be able to click on it, right? And you're able to click on a variety
of
different
sites,
right?
It's a group of six sites. A number of you might have already heard of it. It's a group of six sites where you can go every day and click on a link on each of the six sites, and it will make a donation to each of the six
sites. That given organization, yeah.
And then they also have stores that they sell fair trade and organic items. And
so it's an online store for lefties. So if you're... If your politics shade a little bit in the red area, this is perfect for you.
No, people who are conservative still like to make donations and help the needy.
I was just saying that, you know, you start adding in fair trade and, you know,
save
the Guatemalans, and all of a sudden people start wondering.
Okay.
So we're going to review that. And then we will go on to conclude the show in our podcast segment by reviewing the In Over Your Head podcast, which is by a guy named Julian Smith, which is really interesting. It's a hip hop podcast, basically, but we'll talk about the details.
But
of that
he's really into social services, so I think he'll get a kick
hopefully
out
he'll
of
get
this
a kick out of that as well. Oh, and that reminds me, I want to thank Paul Levinson for writing us. Apparently, the Levelator that we recommended works very well.
Good.
And he wanted to say that he had done a couple of reviews of The Wire and a couple of these other shows. So we will have to be edified about that.
It had been a series, but we haven't even seen it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. It's because we don't get Showtime, you know?
Any of those.
Which is probably good because there's no TV being watched.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think we don't need more channels.
All right. So on we go to the holiday section, and we have a bunch of them that we want to review.
Right. We're going to use this website as a nice summative resource.
Which is?
www. You're just thinking of the leftist thing that you're talking about. www.religioustolerance.
Now, why is that a left-wing thing?
Sorry.
Certainly conservatives believe in being tolerant.
Especially since
others.
I just dissed Scientology. But
right.
www.religioustolerance.org/winter_soul. Is there a reason why you need to help me with the underscore?
Oh, I just want it as like a rap. Underscore.
underscore solstice.
Yeah.
So religioustolerance.org/winter_solstice.html.
Why is it starting to sound like jingle bells as we're going through?
Just trying to follow the theme, Greg. Trying to follow the theme.
So here's the overall thing we want to say about these holidays, and that is we know that people have a different series of reactions to the holidays. A lot of people, I think it's become trendy, especially for a lot of people, not to like them. You know, they're triggering for them about problems with family situations and, you know, poor old Uncle Ernie that nobody ever likes to hang out with because he says inappropriate things and you only see him at the holidays. And that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is true for other people. I have talked to a few of my friends who seem to have the same experience as me. And that is that the time leading up to the winter holidays for me is Christmas. It's always much nicer than the actual day.
Why is that, do you think?
I think it's the ambiance. It's the buying gifts. It's the thinking about it. It's the preparing. Mm-hmm. It's the music. It's the Christmas tree. It's the... everything.
Oh, and by the way.
By the way.
We got a real Christmas tree.
It's so pretty.
Yes, it's very pretty.
And it smells so lovely.
And we have some lights and some popcorn and a few ornaments on it. But we're very ornament light, so we're going to get more ornaments.
We have like
but anyway,
two ornaments.
So Clea got her real Christmas tree.
Yay!
And it's fine. Okay, so.
So I think it's just that whole, you know, like anticipatory reaction.
Yeah.
And then the actual day is just such a letdown.
Because it's over too quickly?
It's over too quickly. You don't get anything that you actually want. Family politics, family emotions,
yeah.
You know, good food, but then there's too much and you feel like crap. You know, just like...
I don't think it's been quite that let down for me. She's like, and then the dog always dies over and over again.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe if I had come from a big, but I've talked to other people too that feel this way, that the before is better than the actual day.
Mm-hmm.
Even people who, you know, like the actual day. But yeah, it might be because I came from a smaller family. I mean, I was an only child of divorced parents. So when I grew up, it wasn't like this big family, you know, warm atmosphere. But I've met other people that have felt kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the reason I bring that up is that for me, I've always enjoyed the holiday season, and there were a lot of reasons for that. Partly, I liked the idea of coming home. I liked the idea of resting after a long... I mean, I bought into that stuff of resting after a long year. I always liked the weather. It often involved a lot of game playing, which longtime listeners of this show will know that I dearly love. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that I liked all the sort of surrounding experience of it and always enjoyed that. And the one thing that I want to say, and I'll say it again at the end of the show as well, and I think it's an important message, is that as difficult as I know the holidays can be for some people, I do think they serve one valuable purpose, and that is almost by requirement, we're forced to slow down on these times. You know, if you're living in America and December 25th comes around, nothing's open on Christmas. And I think there's something nice about that because I think you're almost forced to stop for a little bit and contemplate. And that's something which our world doesn't do enough of. You know, we're rushing from one thing to the next, either because that's just the way the pace of the world works, or because mm-hmm. we don't want to stop and think about what's happening around us and so mm-hmm. forth. Maybe that's another problem. And so Christmas is nice because it gives us the opportunity, and I'm going to bring in the other holidays as well, but Christmas is a particular example is nice because it causes us to slow down and contemplate. And all of the religions that we're talking about today do the same sort of thing. You have a chance to sort of reconnect and reflect and think, and that is important. I mean, I'm sorry, all of us, we're not all supermen. I mean, we have to at some point take a chance to recharge and reflect and think about what we're going to do going forward and sort of recommit ourselves to our life paths, whatever those may be. And so I hope you'll be able to find some peace in that this holiday season and take the peace that's given you and sort of, you know, enjoy it while you can and experience it while you can before, you know, we're on to the new onrushing series of days that's going to come upon us. So take some time to relax.
So it all started with ancient Greece.
Yeah, apparently.
The winter solstice ritual was called...
Linnea, the Festival of the Wild Women.
The Festival of the Wild Women.
Oh, this is a great start, Clea. I just talked about relaxing, and it says, in very ancient times, a man representing the harvest god Dionysus was torn to pieces and eaten by a gang of women on this day. Boy, that's spectacular. Later in the ritual, Dionysus would be reborn as a baby. By classical times, the human sacrifice had been replaced by the killing of a god. So really... don't relax. What you really ought to do is tear some of the pieces and then have them reborn.
That was the way it was originally done, Greg.
Sigh.
Then we move to Saturnalia.
Saturnalia, which was a feast day for Saturn.
Okay, I'm going to give the ancient Greece thing a zero. Okay?
Okay. A zero to
because
ten.
Because although I do like
any give it
kind
a one
of festival
it sort of
wild women,
others.
But, it, well, you know, killing and eating a guy, I wouldn't recommend it.
It's a little strong.
We'll give that one a zero.
Okay. Then we moved on to ancient Rome to Saturnalia, which began as a feast day for Saturn on December 17th. And then eventually they were converted into two-day celebrations, which in Rome, pretty much everything was converted eventually into month-long celebrations.
I like
so they
things
wouldn't focus
that are more
on,
than one day.
On corruption.
So
well,
already that's looking
so did the Roman
good.
Emperors. They were like, look over there, shiny things. Everyone's like, woo, what do you mean Christians are being killed? So that was what was happening.
So it was just a feast?
It was basically, it was a feast, and there was festivals. I think there was actually drama associated with it. There were some dramatic productions that were put on to sort of celebrate the day.
Okay.
And
it was mainly
was
like celebrating
times.
The nativity of
yep.
the gods and saviors, Apollo, Attis,
yep.
Dionysus again.
And then
Hercules.
Aurelian.
Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
What is that from?
It's from, I forgot the name of that Eddie Murphy movie.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. So then Emperor Aurelian in the year 270 combined a number of solstice celebrations mm-hmm. from a variety of different gods and so forth into a single festival called, now check this out, the Birthday of the Unconquered Sun on December
That's
25th.
Nice.
That's cool. And then at the same time, Mithraism and Christianity were fierce competitors, and Aurelian declared Mithraism the official religion of the Roman Empire in 274, and then Christianity became the new official religion in the 4th century.
You know, it's
so
an interesting
It's interesting
concept.
That they combine them together on that.
Well, it's also an interesting concept that it's a celebration of the birthday of unconquered sun at a time when there's the least amount of daylight, because Rome's about the same, it would have been the same as where we are right now, right? So that they would have been around the winter solstice, they'd be getting the least amount of light.
Probably. So maybe it was something... Well, I think this reflects all of that. It's sort of a celebration of the year that came, that right. was just passed, and it was also kind of a prayerful, please let this
right.
come
please
back.
Please come back,
you know?
Yeah.
Please don't
we know you're not really conquered.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so there was that.
So,
and so it went from
in another
there.
Area of the world, let's go to Buddhism.
Okay. In Buddhism, we had a festival which is called Bodhi Day. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it's also known as Rahatsu.
I love how they say A.K.A. Rahatsu.
Yeah, A.K.A.
Like,
Rahatsu.
What that is.
It recalls the day in 596 BC when the Buddha achieved enlightenment.
Mm.
He left his family and possessions behind at the age of 29. I think people will generally know this story, that he abandoned all of his worldly possessions and sought the meaning of life and eventually found the path to enlightenment and then taught that path.
Wow, so that's kind of cool. And so that's a significant day in December.
Yep, absolutely. My brother is a Buddhist, and I have a great deal of admiration for what that religion teaches and its message of peace and so forth. Then we have this minor religion known as Christianity.
Mm.
There's this guy, Christ,
right.
Who was born to save man from his sins.
Okay.
And so he was killed.
Was he the guy that was the son of God?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think that's
okay.
what that's about. Everyone's just like, this is horribly offensive. We're just kidding. Christianity,
sarcasm,
obviously,
sarcasm,
satire.
I think that our listeners, if they've still
they probably
with us,
understand.
I think they know
yeah,
sarcasm.
They understand what we're getting at this point. But obviously, we celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th, and Christmas has become, since it is sort of the dominant holiday, at least in America, Christmas has become in many ways symbolic of the best and worst of the holiday season. The best because, at its base level, what it's about is the birth of a child and the message of new life that creates and so forth.
Right,
its worst, it's sort of tied up with the commercialism and have you bought your 750 gifts for people, and these commercials I see on TV, like, so make sure you get the Year to Remember Lexus event, because like people apparently there are people in the world who go and buy their wives and husbands
understand these commercials.
Luxury cars.
Do you get these elsewhere in the world? In America, we get these stupid commercials of these loved ones buying each other cars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. I guess if you're out there, bravo.
Yeah. My parents saved up and managed to get me a used 1986 Civic. Like, that was like, you know, years of work.
But you didn't, like, wake up one morning.
Right. I wasn't like, oh, there's a bow on my Lexus SUV. I didn't expect it. I mean, like, what? Anyway.
But also, I think another way of describing it, Greg, is that the best and the worst of it is it combined a lot of different religious practices at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in that respect, it is kind of bringing them together. But also,
right.
it did snuff out a lot of faith that and took over things. So there's a lot of people that, you know, are narrow-minded Christians who say this is a Christian practice, when no, actually it's a pagan practice, or no, actually that's Buddhist in origin, or
typical thing we've talked about before, which is you spend your whole time talking about how God is unknowable and unthinkable and larger than everything, and then you spend the rest of the time trying to put him into a tiny little box. And so all of a sudden, you know, the fact that this holiday, which began as a way to celebrate a birth, and which could celebrate a birth in many different ways, you know, using pagan traditions and all these other things, all of a sudden we have to sort of remove all of them, you know, in favor of this one thing and one thing alone. And that's unfortunate, but in any case...
Am I reading that correctly, that the English Parliament abolished Christmas in 1647?
Right. Well, part of the reason for that... Well, no. It's largely because it was Catholic. I mean, if this is happening in 1647,
it had all these Catholic
residences.
Okay.
That, of course, didn't work. Because everyone was like, you want to do what? No.
That didn't work out too well. All right, let's move on. Oh, I guess we should rate... did we rate the Roman one?
No, we didn't. Was it better than the...
The feast, it lasts for 2 days. I'll give that a 5.
Okay, I'll give that a 5. I want to give the Buddhist Rohatsu, I'd say a 6 out of 10 for the concept.
Yeah, I mean, enlightenment's nice, but where's your party?
I told you this, but I had a friend once who came into a college roommate who came into a room once and said, "Guys, I think I'm enlightened, but I'm not sure." We're like, you know what, Greg? His name is also Greg. We think if you're enlightened, you would know. We don't think there'd be any doubt. Anyway, so, and as far as Christianity is concerned, this is hard. I mean, I
give it a 7.
I guess I have to give it a 7, although I recognize the potential negative associations with it, but I think if you put them all together... It's not Christmas's fault that it's been appropriated, you know, in the way that it has been by the larger church in these other ways. And in that sense, I think it's still a worthy holiday. So I would say a 7 for that. Then we move on to several of the other major, major religions in the world. For example, Islam. Now, we spent some time looking at several holidays associated with this, but...
The thing you have to remember with Islam, and this is true for a lot of religions, but... The calendar isn't a 12-month calendar.
Right, right.
So the holidays, interestingly enough, changed with every year. Over the centuries, they're changing months even. So, like, I think at one point, Ramadan actually was around winter time.
Right.
But it's now not. It's, you know, earlier, was it like August or September?
Something like that, yeah.
But Ramadan's part of a lunar-based calendar, so...
There's also, I believe, a Feast of the Sacrifice, Muslims celebrate to demonstrate it, to celebrate the time when, as they believe it, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. And God rewarded him for his faith in him. Allah rewarded him for his faith in him. So that Feast of Sacrifice, which is a very important festival, generally falls somewhere at this time period. But as Clea said, sometimes it's early December, sometimes it's January, so it varies a little bit.
This site says, actually, in 1997 to 99, Ramadan occurred in December.
Right.
Right now, the celebration that Greg was talking about is in December.
Right.
But at other times, it's been another time. Other years, it's been other times.
And so, I don't know, what do we want? I mean, can we rate? Can we rate something that moves? I mean...
That moves?
Well, no. Obviously, we could rate something that moves, but...
Yeah, we're going to have to take a point away, though, because it's constantly shifting on us.
What?
And that's just, you
shifting
know,
on our Christian calendar, you mean? I would have to give this. I would have to give this a.
I guess 6. Too.
I guess I would give this a 6 as well. Then we move on to Judaism, and of course, the famous holiday festival that happens in December for Judaism is Hanukkah.
Hanukkah,
which, as it says, and I'm reading from the
site,
recalls the war fought by the Maccabees in the cause of religious freedom. Antiochus, the king of Syria, had conquered Judea in the second century BC. He terminated worship in the temple and stole the sacred lamp, the menorah, from before the altar. And Judah the Maccabee led a band of rebels and succeeded in retaking Jerusalem. They restored the temple and lit the menorah. And the key thing about Hanukkah, and the reason that it lasts for the time that it does, is that they only found oil enough to allow the menorah to burn for 24 hours, and yet the flames burn steadily for 8 days.
Right.
And so in the modern times, Jews celebrate Hanukkah by lighting one candle for each of the 8 days of the festival. And it notes on this site, with some amusement, I think, once a minor festival, it has been growing in importance in recent years, perhaps because of the pressure of Christmas. So apparently it's like, look, Christmas is taken over, so we've got to put some together.
We do have to remember this is religioustolerance.org.
Yeah, I know. Sorry to allow that all as well.
I mean, I do. I grew up in Seattle, and I went to a school that was at least half Jewish, and so there was definitely the, you know, need to be considerate around Christmas items and decorations, and then, you know, there was this, everyone kind of grew up understanding Christmas and Hanukkah.
Yep.
And, you know, pretty much the main understanding I got is that the Jewish kids got to get more gifts, because they got gifts day.
At that age group, everything gets communicated in terms of who gets what gifts at what point, you know, like, and how,
you know, they got them spread out, and then we got them all in one day.
Right, exactly.
That was about the extent of my understanding. But no, I think that it is quite a nice concept of the Festival of Lights. I think it's quite nice. And I think that it does meld quite nicely a lot with Christmas and the focus on lights as well.
And it's interesting that we always talk about the holiday season, and we have a tendency then to think of, at least in the Judeo-Christian tradition of Christmas and Hanukkah as being the biggest deals. But within each religion, they're really not. I mean, Easter, which is, you know, supposedly when Christ was, Christ rose from the dead, mm-hmm. that's really a much more important religious holiday than Christmas is. And
as is Passover
and Rosh Hashanah are more mm-hmm. important than Hanukkah is, and from the religious term. But
right.
we have this tendency, I think, because they all come around the same time period,
right.
to sort of put even that much more emphasis on it. And so I think that's interesting.
But again, both of them have to do with light.
That's right.
And the coming of light.
Yep.
Hanukkah, what do you want to give it? I like those potato pancakes. Those are good.
So because of the potato pancakes, we're going to give it a 7.
It is an essential part of the holiday, Greg.
I am a little bit nervous, though, about rating Christianity and Judaism a 7 and giving other things lower than that, because I feel like we don't have as much experience.
As a holiday.
I get for a holiday season, that's fair enough.
That's what we're talking about. We're not rating the religions
here, Greg.
Well,
no, of course not. Let's just throw a caution to the wind. No problem. Okay, so as holidays, then, you want to give it a 7, then?
Yeah.
Okay. And since I got my doctorate from Brandeis University, anyone who's listening from Brandeis, which
you're
also has a,
bases.
Let's say, a heavily Jewish tradition, yes, I'm covering my bases there.
So I think we should talk about some of the Native American practices, because there's also dealt with giving.
Yes.
And the creation of light, mm-hmm. of life, and things like that. So I think we should make a note that, you know, obviously, there's not a specific holiday that most of us know, but the different tribes did do certain things around the winter solstice times and have certain rites that they did.
And there are a lot of, as it says, stone structures which were created by Native Americans to detect solstices and equinoxes, mm-hmm. which they could then celebrate.
Right.
And they mention on this site the Pueblo and the Hopi tribe, but of course there were numerous other tribes that celebrated as well summer and winter solstices. And so perhaps one of the things to remember about this time period, though, which is not so positive, is how few there are left to be able to celebrate them. And that's sort of a sobering thought, and yet it's something that, you know, it's something that I guess needs to be dealt with around this holiday season, which is not to sort of throw everyone into deep depression, but to remind you all, but to remind everybody that there are, you know, numerous other traditions in the world that were at various times repressed and not celebrated, perhaps in the way that they should have been, and that's unfortunate.
Okay.
Do you have a rating for that?
No, I mean, we don't really.
We can't really rate it because it's too many. Okay.
I can't rate it.
Last but not, but certainly not least, is neo-paganism, which consists of, we actually have a couple of neo-pagan listeners, including Meg, who listens to the show, right?
Right. So most people, when they think of paganism, I think a lot of people think of Wicca. It's the most common, and it's based in many respects on ancient Celtic beliefs. And they celebrate the two solstices and the two equinoxes. So, you know, when you think of around December 21st, and then there's, you know, when you could go by like the 21st, so there's June 21st, mm-hmm. there's December 21st, mm-hmm. and then there's the spring and the autumn as well. And they refer usually to the winter solstice as Yule. So when you think of like Yuletide,
Yule logs
mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff, right. You're actually being a pagan.
See? And one of the things that's interesting, I think, about this is that, as it refers to at the end of this section, religions like Judaism and Christianity and Islam, which are monotheistic religions, one God, tend to think of time as a sort of linear thing. So it started with creation, and then the world will end at some point in the future, and that's that. What's interesting, though, is that I think, but as it says here, Aboriginal and neo-pagan religions see time as circular and repetitive, with lunar or monthly and solar or yearly cycles. And what's interesting about that, I think, is that their influence then has been strongly felt not only in sort of what Clea mentioned before about the light and celebrating those sorts of things, mm-hmm. but it's influenced the way that we look at the cyclical nature of time. Because
right.
I think we do view life in some ways as linear if we're living in the Western world, but I think that there's also been an increasing emphasis on rebirth. And, you know, one of my favorite themes, redemption and restoration. And that may partially spring then from the influence of pagan religions and the mm-hmm. idea of cycles, not just sort of time going from one spot to some
nature-based
point in the
and
future.
And nature is cycle. You know? So let's rate the winter solstice Yule.
I would say that this has to get a 7 or an 8 because it really is the foundation, really, for a lot of holidays that follow it, I think.
And for that, I was going to say an 8.
Okay. Then I would say an 8 is fair.
Right.
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last one I think that we want to mention.
Can we talk about the vampire one?
Oh, I cannot talk about the vampire.
I see the vampire one.
Okay, let's see here. Vampires, which are spelled with a Y. Real individuals who have a need to ingest small quantities of blood in order to maintain their strength. Vampires celebrate the long night, a festival at the winter solstice. Many groups of... Okay, that's enough. I'm also not going to celebrate werewolves, okay? Oh, dear God. So, the last thing that we wanted to mention was...
Kwanzaa!
Yes, Kwanzaa!
So, another website you guys can check out, too, is www.holidays.net. And they have the major religions, major holidays on there. So, they have Kwanzaa, they have Hanukkah, they have Christmas.
Kwanzaa, which is spelled K-W-A-N-Z-A-A, and which seems to be the stand-in for all, quote, alternative religions. You always hear people who are supposedly enlightened being like, we'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and of course a Happy Kwanzaa, which stands for every other religion on the free earth, apparently.
I think it's just like also to kind of cover their race bases.
Right, I suppose that's true. They're like, so don't anyone be offended.
So Kwanzaa Yenu Iwe Na Harry.
Kwanzaa Yenu Iwe Na Harry.
Very good, Greg.
Thank you.
So it's a 7-day festival, so it's 1 day shorter than Hanukkah. And it's more kind of a celebration of community. Mm-hmm. And in many respects, the African-American culture. So it's the same kind of thing of the people, the families coming together and lighting candles.
It starts on December 26th, the day after Christian
Christmas.
Right,
and it goes till New Year's.
And it goes till New Year's.
And it's just like a coming together and to discuss and to pass on traditions and culture and history. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was actually created by someone, wasn't it?
Yep, Dr. Milana Karenga in 1966. During, obviously, a very significant period of civil rights advancement in America.
Right.
And Dr. Karenga wanted to create a holiday that would bring African-Americans together in celebration of their black culture. And Kwanzaa, the word Kwanzaa, comes from the Kiswahili phrase for first fruit, which is Matunda ya Kwanzaa. And so he wanted to celebrate that idea. These fruit festivals became a model for Kwanzaa. So the idea of celebrating the crops and harvest, giving thanks to the creator for a good harvest in life,
right, and their ancestors.
To remember and celebrate the ancestors in the past, recommit yourself to the community, celebrated their history, culture, creator, and the promise of the next year. Which, again, I'm fascinated by this because, again, this is what I said at the beginning. This is that idea of people relaxing, recommitting, resting, reflecting, and sort of preparing themselves for the advancement of what's going to happen in the future. And Kwanzaa reflects that again.
And community is so important and so lost in a lot of aspects of today's society. And that is one thing that I think the African-American culture has never lost sight of, was the importance of community.
Yeah.
And so I think it's true to form that that's what this winter solstice holiday is really all about.
Yep. You have a rating?
I go on a 7 on this one.
Okay. I would say that's true. A 7 as well for this. So that is our summary. That's it for holidays. And I guess, again, as we want to say, we'll mention again at the end of the show, but happy holidays to everybody, regardless of what holiday tradition you celebrate. Or if you celebrate none at all, we hope you'll at least take some time to reflect on
that's true. On the religious thing, they had atheists. Well. What do supposedly atheists celebrate?
The atheists have a celebration which they've recently invented, apparently, called in 2000. They had the Great North Texas Infidel Bash. Which is just great. So it's a celebration of, pretty much. I don't know. It's a solstice observance. You know? So it's a solstice observance.
It's December, let's party.
Yeah. And it's
cold out, let's drink hot
drinks.
There
you go. That's
okay.
Right. And, you know, that's got its place.
Okay. I'm not gonna vote on that.
Okay. That's fine. All right. So we are going to move on quickly to just talk about, very briefly, the breastcancersite.com. Clea, you want to talk about this?
Okay. So www.thebreastcancersite.com. And you can go to that. You can go to any of the other 5. So you can go to thehungersite.com or thechildhealthsite.com or theliteracysite.com or therainforestsite.com or theanimalrescuesite.com.
And all of these have in common that when you go to these pages, you have various things that you can click on. And every click, they track them. And every click that you do allows you to contribute or allows a certain amount of money to be contributed because of the traffic being driven to that site.
Right.
Contributed to the given topic, which I think is originally something that came out of Oxfam.
Right.
In fact, one of the people that I used to work with, a guy named Ben Branzel, who was who's a student at Brandeis. Some of you, if you ever get anything from MoveOn.org, which is a left-wing organization, may recognize stuff from him. Yeah. He did a whole bunch of stuff called the ClickFest and Oxfam, and I don't think this came directly from him, but these kinds of things came right. from that idea of Oxfam.
Supposedly, you do it once a day. I don't know if that's saying that you could only do it once a day, or if that they're just saying, please at least do this once a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go, and if you click on it, you're going to help feed the hungry.
That's all you do. By clicking on it, you're going to
you know, donate a free mammogram, you know, to someone. You donate a free book or so, that kind of thing. And then each of them has their own store. If you go to it, and on the left-hand column, they'll say our store. And each of them have their own kind of items. And then a lot of them have very similar items. And all of them have options like fair trade, new arrivals, bestsellers, and then depending upon the different kind of categories, jewelry, etc.
And some are things that you can buy for yourself or for others, which, you know, the money, the proceeds go to support these sites. Other things are buying things for other people, you know, in other parts of the world, which I think is interesting. Like, you know, buying an Afghani schoolgirl 3 days of school, let's say, or paying the salary of a teacher.
You pay the annual salary for a teacher, or you can buy school shoes, kind of horrifying
about that. You know, the fact that you can, what did we find out about the salary of the teacher?
I don't remember how much that was, but then it was also like
something like you pay $50
for a year. Yeah. Was like a couple hundred dollars.
It's just unbelievable,
like
the sort of little money in a way that it would cost.
You know, it's hard. It's really hard because a lot of people, I think, would find it offensive if I got them the gifts from that, which I find sad, but I completely understand.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. Sometimes you want to get these for people. You think it's thoughtful, but you know, you can't always do it because people are going to go, why didn't I get something?
In that case, you can get them an object.
Right. But in this instance, they have a lot of fair trade items. They have a lot of items that are really reasonably priced and are good quality stuff. They're getting in them because they're fair trade. And then you purchase them and they'll ship them out to you in one big box or to multiple different people.
For an example, who wouldn't want some pineapple Yachana jungle chocolate? From the rainforest of Ecuador to your home, pineapple Yachana jungle chocolate.
They have like different kind of fair trade coffees, like it's called Peace Coffee.
Is there pineapple Yachana jungle coffee?
No, but there's Sumatran.
Sweet. Yeah, one of the things I was having trouble with, Clea, is like, okay, should we get Guatemalan coffee, or should we feed 3 Ethiopians, or should we send 5 Afghan? I'm like, I don't know how to figure this. Do I help the Afghani girl go to school, or do I save the Sumatran rainforest? I don't know. Help, you know. So anyway,
yeah.
But Clea's right. Like if you're uncomfortable giving sort of the concept of things, which like we said with the Christmas tree, you know, the best thing to do is not to have a tree. Well, okay, but I mean, there's a certain point where the environmentalism goes too far. Same thing here. Obviously, there's some things that, you know, people expect to have some object given to them or something like that. And so if you can give them an object which also at the same time benefits other people, then that's certainly cool as well.
Right.
And you know, you can do whatever you want. We're just giving you some alternatives.
Yeah, it's a nice site of a couple years in a row, I've purchased some or all of our Christmas gifts from there, and it's just nice to do it all in one thing. And then at the end, they will tell you how much of whatever it is that you did. So if you bought it from the rainforest, you know, I think this year, I forgot what it is, but we purchased 11,000 or something.
Square feet.
111,000 square feet of rainforest or something with our purchase.
Which we're going to move into when we retire. I think set it down right over there. I think that's where we are.
We're going
right
to move into once we can't pay our credit card bills.
God, no kidding. So anyway, yeah. So for a rating, I would say these sites would get probably, let's say, an 8 or a 9 out of 10 for me. Because,
yeah.
I mean, they're so effective. They're well designed. And obviously
the cost
is good.
They're very easy. Yeah. Yeah. I want to say a 9.
Okay. So let's say a 9 out of 10 for the breast cancer site, child health site, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And I do want to say that there was one year where I thought that I hadn't received an item. It was, I had bought like a big box of stuff and it was like lost in it and I hadn't seen it. And I called them up and they were going to, without a question, they were going to ship out the item again. And then I found it in the box and I called them back and said, nope, sorry, it got stuck with a bunch of peanuts. It was a little teeny small rock of, you know, a little like prehistoric shell.
And it's a good thing because otherwise there'd be 3 Afghani girls wandering the desert without school on today had they not found this item.
All right. Right. And last but not least.
Last but not least is our podcast segment. So a 9 out of 10 for those sites we just mentioned. Last but not least is our podcast segment. And this one is a hip-hop podcast. It's called In Over Your Head. And you can find it at www.inoveryourhead.net. InOverYourHead.net.
Your parents do not approve of this broadcast. If they hear you listening to this, they will move forward and ask you to go sit back in front of the television, watch Sesame Street, and keep acting like a child. But you're ready. You want to be an adult. Okay, so you want to know how. You want to know how to move forward in the world and be an adult? Well, guess what? Even the adults have no clue what it is that they're doing. Doesn't matter what age you are. As you get older, you have no clue what's going on. You are not going to gain any sort of universal knowledge of the world. You are going to, for the rest of your life, move forward in eternal darkness without any clue about what you're supposed to do, about what it is that, you know, life wants you to do. All you're going to do is you're going to be told from up on high, you're going to have to become a doctor or be a lawyer, whatever it is that they're going to tell you, contribute to society in some way or another. And in the meantime, you have to shut out all these voices, and you may have to actually, oh sweet Jesus, listen to your own voice. You may have to actually shut out everything and listen to everything in the darkness. Get it all figured out. Shut out every thing, every McDonald's commercial, every Walmart greeter that you see as you walk in there for a pair of shorts on a hot summer day, and just actually get an idea what's going on. This is In Over Your Head number 95. Let's get some done.
This was submitted to us by a guy named Julian Smith, who's been doing this for a couple of years. It's actually a surprising number of episodes. And he's a guy who lives in Montreal. He's a designer. But what's interesting about him and about this podcast, well, there's two things that are interesting about it. He's been working with Pod Show, and so I think he's actually on Sirius Radio, actually. So there's a lot of stuff here. So there's a couple things. First of all, this is not work safe. Not child safe,
right.
Not anything safe. This is adult.
He swears every other word.
And he uses, and not only does he use language, he makes some reference to others. Yeah, right. this is really explicit, okay? So we want to make sure everyone knows that, because we're a family show.
Yeah.
This is not to be listened to with family. It is, you know, that at least not young family.
Right.
Having said that, though, what he basically does in these shows, and these shows generally run right around 25 minutes, is he will have some commentary that he'll have about things that are going on during the day. Sometimes there'll be social commentary. Sometimes they'll be talking about things that happened to him at a party. Sometimes they'll be referring to sort of consumerist culture, that kind of thing. And then it'll be interspersed with independent hip-hop artists. So, pod-safe artists and independent hip-hop artists that he then plays. And he normally throws, I think, maybe three or four of these into a given show, and then sometimes he'll have things that are just sort of specific only hip-hop shows, so they're 24 minutes of just music, but most of the time it's between him and the music. Occasionally he'll interview a couple of people and stuff like that, but most of it relates to him specifically.
It's just him talking.
And so I really like this show, and it's funny, when I first listened to it I was like, man, could the guy drop the f-bomb? And it's funny because he drops it in these ways which are, first of all, this guy, who he's from Montreal, I should say, and it's hilarious because he's the ultimate sort of liberal metrosexual. I mean, he volunteers at a homeless shelter.
Right.
He says that he's about 140 and 5'10 and a computer programmer.
Right.
But he likes to be like, let me tell you about this, what I think about this.
And then you say something in French, and it's like the most beautiful French accent. You know,
right, exactly.
Like everything's perfect.
Although in French, he's probably saying, I would guess. Because seriously, like, what he does is, and you guys have just now heard a bunch of beeps, because that's what we're doing as we're doing this. Seriously, like, he will use these things, he will use these terms, things that are just, like, standard things. You know, like I could, it would be as if I were saying something like, so I was walking along the street, and I saw this guy, and he said, what's up? He'll be like, so I'm walking down the street, and this is like, what the is up? And I'm like, what?
You're like, what are you talking to?
And he'll do that all the time. He's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yes, but why did you need to drop that 15 times?
A little bit along with what you were saying, when the first two episodes I listened to, I did feel a little bit like he was dropping it to drop it.
Yeah.
You know, like the way he was using it, it didn't sound like it was forced. I mean, it didn't sound like it was
natural or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. It sounded like he was saying it because he was enjoying saying it.
Right. Exactly. So that's one thing that I personally, it's not one of my favorite. I mean, I don't think language is particularly helpful in that way. I think it's, there are times when you need to use the word, but seriously, like, not as a stand-in for the old guy. Instead of the old guy, it's the But having said that, I really like the rest of the show, and I'm not sure I can put my finger on why that is. Part of it is that I like the music. I like the stuff that he's playing. I like good rap. I'm afraid a lot of rap is crap, and a lot of hip-hop is crap, but I like it when there's actually good stuff that's out there. And he picks some really interesting, unusual stuff, which I like. Secondly, there's something interesting about him as a character. I mean, I think he's got, first of all, he's very bright. He's got a lot of interesting things to say. And he has, I think, this sort of broad-based view of the world, which just I find interesting. So he had this guy on, for example, that does another podcast, and he was talking to this guy about substance abuse. This other guy works with young people that are substance abusers, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the experience of what it's like dealing with gangbangers and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and, you know, how you keep them from getting to be really into, like, 50 Cent and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to hear him talking about it, because these are guys who really like independent hip-hop, mm-hmm. and yet they're talking in realistic terms, serious terms, about the implications of hip-hop and the thug culture and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff that happens all the time. And I actually went and I downloaded a bunch of other shows because I'm interested in listening to more of this. Mm-hmm. And so my one big negative about it really is the language. And if it's not, other than the language, I don't have a lot bad to say about it. I think he's doing a really interesting, good, it is a hip hop podcast. It's a hip podcast too. It really is one of those, you know,
because a lot of
culturally hip shows.
A lot of the things that he was talking about, and even a lot of the music, wasn't really heavy on the harsh language and inappropriate content.
No.
So I don't think
he had a rap song that said Commodore 64. Like, how seriously, how heavy could this
be? I have to say too, after discussing the music that was played on the last podcast that we reviewed, I was a little nervous to hear what he was going to play, but he does have good taste in I don't want to be selfish to think that I have the taste, and therefore if I think it's good, it's good. But I agree with a lot of the things that he played. I liked them all. And that it was legitimate, you know, indie hip hop in many regards. So things that you're not going to hear on the radio, but actually stuff that you would like to hear on the radio if you could.
And that's one of the things he said on this interview show, is that when these other guys, like, brings this independent hip hop to these kids, and they're like, oh, and it's the hip hop world does not end with Jay-Z, you know, like there's other people out there. And so, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of really interesting stuff that's being done in that regard. The volume levels are very good.
Yes.
The quality of the show. I mean, he obviously knows what he's doing. Although there's one thing I want to say. The website functions very well, but please, in the name of all that is holy, in the name of our holidays that we've just reviewed, please give us a direct download link. I can't find a direct download link. I find lots of stuff to iTunes. I find lots of stuff to the feed, and that's great, and and that's wonderful, and I think he's got something with Odeo too. But please, a direct download. This is just a general comment to all podcasters. Just add some place where we can download your podcast directly, because I may not want to. Now, in fact, I actually am going to subscribe to the show, but I may not want to do that in general terms. So please just add a direct download. That's just my little, that's it. I'll get off my soapbox now.
You know, and he did say, at least in one episode that I heard, he said, oh, well, if you found me, if you're listening to me serious, you know, please go over to my website, you know, to listen to me. So he wants people to come to the website
definitely
to be listening and checking out his stuff. So I would try to make that a little bit easier.
Yeah. But having said that, he's very good at what he has to say, and he's entertaining, and I guess that's really the best thing you can say about it, and
he's
smart. He's an interesting guy.
He's humble. You know, he does the kind of off-the-cuff podcaster thing every once in a while of saying, you know, what am I talking about? I'm rambling. You know, here...
And he is kind of self-deprecating in these funny ways, so he'll talk about how, you know, I'm a really good chess player. Actually, he says I'm a really good chess player.
Right, I'm sure.
I'm a really good chess player, you know, and so if I played you, I'd probably kick your ass. You know, but then you'd get better at it, and then this other kid would come kick my ass, you know. So he's very loose in that way. He just sort of throws these things out there, and it's not arrogant. It's just kind of, it's charming, you know, is the best way to put it.
Right.
It's a good show. I like it. I would be tempted to give this probably an 8 out of 10, although I would cut, you know, and it might be a little bit higher, except I just can't handle that many F-bombs in like a 24-minute span. So that's the only thing about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind swearing. I have a habit of doing it myself, but it was distracting, actually. It made it feel a little bit forced and unnatural.
I felt like I was playing profanity bingo, you know? It was like, ding, ding, Yahtzee, you know? Anyway, so we like it. So eight?
I'm fine with an eight. Yeah.
All right. So we give the In Over Your Head podcast an 8 out of 10. Check it out. It's good stuff.
Yep.
All right. That is going to wrap it up for us for episode 28. We'll be back at you next week with our New Year's edition of Upon Further Review. But again, we want to wish everyone the best. We want to wish everyone a happy and peaceful holiday. And as much fun as we always have during these times, we do want to remind you that in what has been in some ways for the world a very difficult year, we hope that you will all take for yourselves a little bit of time to rest and reflect and relax and think about, you know, the new year to come. And I think that's
and
the kind of peace.
Relight your inner candle.
That's right. We wish peace and love and joy to all of you. I don't have anything else to say about that. Oh, and good Guatemalan coffee, whatever the heck was that I mentioned. Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, etc. See ya.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.